I sat there thinking as Sister Faye was singing, a song came to my mind, "There is abundance of rain." Have you ever seen rain on the horizon? Either coming across the field or you're driving down the road and you're going to run into that wall of rain. Amen. That's what I feel in the Holy Ghost this morning. The rain is on its way. You're going to run into it. This church, this congregation is going to run into the wall of rain. Abundance of rain. Outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. The devil always tried to discourage you, but I'm here to tell you that there is no discouragement in Jesus Christ. There is no discouragement in Jesus Christ. Full of the power of the Holy Ghost. And then God laid another little thing on my heart from the fact was that Good Samaritan, which I believe is a type of Jesus Christ, found this man lying in the ditch, beaten up. And that could represent you and me, the world's beaten up by the devil, by sin. And he stopped when nobody else would stop. When the religious world wouldn't stop, he stopped. He poured oil on the man, which is a type of the Spirit, bound him up. And he delivered him to the inn and the innkeeper. I believe the inn is the church. The inn is the church. And what, if you're going to stay, you're on a trip, you stay at the Holiday Inn Express or the Marriott, wherever you're staying, you expect some amenities like soap. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? You expect some amenities like to be shampooed there. Some amenities, there's things that are just there to bless you and to help you and so on and so forth. And maybe a free bottle of water, whatever it may be, these type of amenities. And the good Samaritan told the innkeeper, "Here is some money. Here is, take care of the people I bring you and drop off in your inn. And if there is more, when I come back, I'm going to give you additional." Okay? I believe the church, the body of Christ, this local assembly is one of them. This is one of the many, many inns in this world where God finds people and brings them with His Spirit, amen. Unless He builds the church, unless His Spirit draws people, amen. But He brings them to the inn, He brings them to the church. And then you and I are to help them with the amenities of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul understood that. He said, one another, we pray for one another. That's an amenity, isn't it? Come on, we pray for one another. We lift one another up. That's an amenity, isn't it? That's a blessing. Hallelujah. No one else is going to pray for you. No one else is going to lift you up in this world except the body of Christ. The people who are living in the inn, they take care of that. They're concerned about the amenities, the blessings of God. Hallelujah. So the body of Christ, we just don't come and have a good service. We come because we are servants and we're dispensing the amenities of God to one another and to strangers who walk into our midst, to those that God brings into the body of Christ so it's the amenities we offer, not just a good atmosphere. I like to walk into a nice motel where the atmosphere is there. It says welcome, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. My dad used to go take us down to Florida. This was back in the olden days where there was no interstate. There was US 41, and we'd get in the car and we'd drive down US 41, driving to Florida, and there'd be these little bitty old cottages along the way. And there was no Holiday Inn Express. Let me tell you what, these little shacks didn't have amenities. They had mosquitoes. Broken down beds. Yeah, but it was cheap. Come on, let's don't be a cheap church. Let's offer some good amenities. Let's offer some good things. Come on. Hallelujah. Ken Riley, you've been blessed of the Lord? I better hear it from you. I know you have been. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't it? God blesses you. You bless somebody else. You pass it around. Hallelujah. You need some soap? Well, let me get you some soap. Hallelujah. Amenities. You don't hear that word too much in church, do you? Amen. Amenities and blessings. Hallelujah. The amenity of a smile. A amenity of a good word. Hallelujah. Somebody says, why do I need to go to church? Because you've got like-minded people who are oftentimes going through trials and tests like you are, and you can lean on one another. You know, if brother so-and-so can make it, I know I can make it as well. If sister so-and-so can do it, I know I can do it as well. And so we become the encouragers of one another. Amen. Hallelujah. So that it becomes important in the church, the body of Christ. That's why I feel abundance of rain, body prayer, praying for one another. We do have people that's facing some diseases in this congregation, that's facing some sickness, some serious things. You don't need to know their names. You just know they're part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You don't name your arm. You don't name your leg. You just know it's part of your body. Amen? So when you begin to pray, you pray for the body of Christ. You pray for this local assembly. Amen. God, anybody sick in our assembly, heal their bodies. Let it become a witness to them. Amen. We talk a lot about Sister Joni. There she is, right there, Sister Joni. Amen. She's been taking that piece of paper around to people, wherever she finds them. Says, this is what the doctor said I had. I had the cancer. Look at this one here. He says, I don't have it on this other paper right now any longer. She graduated last week from class on being free of cancer. And she got a certificate. She stopped by here this week, showed me the certificate she received of a cancer survivor class that she just not cleared. Amen. You got Sister Judy Roberts back here. You got people said throughout the congregation that God has touched and healed. Amen. Yeah, come on. You need to tell somebody, come and see a woman that got healed from cancer. Oh, come and see this man that got delivered from all kinds of problems and sickness. Come and see. You won't believe your eyes what God did for so-and-so. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm feeling it come back on me again, like I felt like Sunday. I feel boldness. I feel that God can heal any disease this morning. I feel that God can touch anything this morning. Hallelujah. I believe you can walk alley here just as whole as you walked in just as lame. Amen. 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 We've been reading a lot, or you've been seeing a lot of members of a soccer team in Thailand. Members of the soccer team were reported missing on June the 23rd. And a mother got concerned because her son never came home that night. So mother began to ask some questions. Where is my son? Others got asking the same question. Where's our boys? Where's our kids? They hadn't returned from an outing after soccer practice. So they found out they was in a cave. You've probably read the story. They entered this cave during the weather, kind of raining, but became trapped. Water began to rise in the cave, so they kept going further back into the cave to get away from the rising water. They're somewhere, I don't know what, a mile and a half back into a cave. Major Everett right now is trying to get those 12 boys and their coach. They brought two of them out this morning. couple of divers went in there and got a hold. It was like a 11 hour. They was predicting 11 hours to get out one boy. Amen. That's hard, that's tough, that's dangerous. One man has already lost his life trying to rescue one of those boys. But I know a man who lost his life, his name is Jesus Christ, trying to rescue you, trying to rescue me, trying to rescue the world. Yeah. Past 2,000 years, he gave his life just to rescue us as we was running away from him in sin. I don't know who reported us missing, but somebody reported us missing. Missing from the human race that God intended to be, full of power, full of grace in his kingdom. He gave Adam all the authority over the animals, name all the animals. He gave the human race the potential of ruling and having all dominion over all the world, over everything that God created. Except the devil slipped in and told him a lie. Told Eve a lie. Eve then convinced Adam to eat of the tree. He said not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was a downhill road and rest of the way. You know, I'm so glad God's not satisfied with our being lost. I'm glad God wasn't satisfied about Adam and Eve disobeying him. He worked out a plan. He worked out a deal to rescue them and to deliver them, to get humanity back in the right relationship that he had intended for it to be. That's why we're gathered here this morning in church. That's why we come to worship God, give him thanks, give him praise. Every prayer he answers, every way that he makes where there seems to be no way. He's my hope. Is he your hope? Is he your hope this morning? What's heaven going to be like? I don't know, but it got anything to do with it. God, he's going to be, it's going to be nice. It's going to be good. I do know there's not going to be heartaches there. There's not going to be sorrows there. There's not going to be tears in heaven. No pain. Hallelujah. God's good to us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 through 10. If you remember me in prayer, I'm going to have surgery Wednesday in the afternoon. They're going to take a cataract off of my left eye. And then they're going to go inside. They have not told me how they're going to do that yet. They're going to go inside of my eyeball, and in the backside of my eyeball, they're going to put a stent in a vein. I'm not going to take my eyeball out and look at it and say, well, I'm going to do this thing. I don't know. Now, if man can do some things like that, what do you think God can do? Amen. Amen? I like what Brother Frugate said. He said, can you tithe on nothing? I got a question for you. Can God take nothing and make something? Can you believe with faith? Can you understand what God's talking about? Faith? It don't take a whole lot. Just use what you've got, the song says. Faith. Faith. If God slaps some mud on your eye and tell you to go down to the pool of Siloam and wash, you going to make it down to the pool of Siloam, or are you going to just, what? If you go down to the pool of Siloam with the mud on your eyeball, you could come back seeing. But it takes faith to get from point A to point B. What stops God is a lack of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. How can I give what I don't have? How can you receive what you didn't work for? How can you work just a few days and get a $175 a week raise or whatever it is? Could it be because you didn't understand what God was going to do, but asked you to do it? How did that woman understand that God was going to bless her through the famine when the prophet said, what are you going to do with that twig? What are you going to do with that little bit of flour? In her mind, I'm going to fix a cake for me and my son, and then we're going to die. That was a direct direction of what she was going to do. I'm going to fix a cake for me and my son, and then we're going to lay down and die. And the prophet had nerve enough to say to that woman, you make me a cake first. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All God asks you to do is to be obedient to Him. I'm going to use Brother Fruitgate again. If God said to tithe on something you don't have and you tithe on it, then you could shout about what you didn't expect to arrive, to actually arrive and bless you. She fixed that cake first, gave it to that prophet, and the meal in her barrel didn't run out for the whole famine, nor did the oil run out in the famine. Come on, America. Come on, 21st century. These things are nice to read about, but can I tell you, they're just as real today as they was when it was written back 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. My God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of you are sitting here today that God's done a miracle in your family. Why did He do it? Because you trusted Him and had faith in Him. God can restore what seems to be broken. God can put back together what seems to be lost. Come on, church. Come on, church. Well, you've been raised up in this apostolic thing. You know the truth. Why are you doubting? Why are you doubting God? God did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a sound mind. What's a sound mind for? It's just to have good common sense. If God said it, I believe it, and it's true. If God said to believe and I believe, then I expect God to answer what I believe. Amen? Amen. There's a will and a purpose in a lot of things. Yeah. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 through 10. Brother Jesse is going to read that for me this morning.
And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.
I want you to understand something. Most of the time, we want to hide from God. Most of the time, people, even though they've been saved, they want to hide from God. I want you to put that scripture back up there again, one more time. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 through 10. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where are you at? I'm going to tell you what. There's no man and no woman that can hide from God. There's no man or no woman that can hide from God. God knows where you're at, but He wants you to respond to Him. He could have walked up to Adam and Eve where they was hiding in those bushes and said, "Found you." P.S., where are you? We need to know where we're at. Come on, congregation. Come on, child of God. You need to know where you're at. You need to respond to God. Here am I, God. A little short on faith right now, but I know that's possible. I know you can do all things. Here am I, God. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Send me. He called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" Next one, please. Verse 10. This is you and me sometimes. We hear the voice of God enter our hearts and speak to us. We don't get done what we know we need to get done because we don't respond to God. Not because you don't believe in God. Not because you don't trust God. It just is you don't know why you don't respond to God. I can't explain to you why I don't do what God asked me to do. I can't explain to you why I'm not responding to God like I know God wants me to respond to Him. I don't know why I'm not living for Him like I should be living for Him. And we try to hide behind the stuff. Stuff is just things in our life. Things that just comes along and we just try to bury ourselves in our work or in a project or whatever it may be. We just try to hide in those things. I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. You know, if you make mistakes and you are getting afraid of God because, you know, the pastor calls in an evangelist, and this evangelist is, he works in the gifts of the Spirit. I think I kind of skipped that revival. I don't think I'll show up that night that guy's going to be there because I don't want him to come up to me and tell me what I don't want him to know. The problem is God already knows. Because you can't hide anything from God. God knows where we're at. He knows where we're living. He knows the amount of faith that we have. He knows what we're willing to do and what we're willing not to do. Amen? Adam says, I'm naked and I hid myself. The reason why he hid himself because he knew what he did was not right. We could be more use of God in our lives if we say, "God, here am I. I made a mistake." The prodigal son, first thing he said to his dad when he came up that road and saw his dad on another road, he said, "Father, I have sinned against you and I have sinned against God." Yes, come on. A few years ago, there was a story in National Geographic magazine. And the story was set in a national park here in the United States. A fire had destroyed many acres of trees, and when the rangers went to investigate, they found a surprising survivor. It was a little bird. He thought it was dead, though. Somebody says, I think the church is dead. No, the church is never going to die. Sometimes you need to poke it a little bit. Person that you're trying to give little respiration to, little life. They may have had a heart attack. You're giving mouth to mouth. You're trying to put air back into their lungs. And sometimes the heart won't take off that way. And you may have to take your fist and pound that person in the chest 2 or 3 times. Why are you pounding that person in the chest? They're dying. Well, it's to get the rhythm and get the heart restarted. Sometimes you've got to poke us a little bit, God, to get us back in rhythm again.
Yes.
Thought that little bird was dead. Took a stick, put it under the wings. that little wing was a mother, or that little bird was a mother, and under the wing there was some little baby birds. That mother had spread her wings over them, shielding them from the flame. She gave all that she could that what she loved so much would survive. When you look at Genesis chapter 3, you look at what God has done for Israel. You'll find that God had a promise. God says to Israel, like He says to you and me, God says, I found them. God said, I found them. They did not find God, nor did they search for God, but God found them. You didn't search for God until God stirred your heart and made you hunger for God till you begin to search for God, and God stirred your soul. God found you first. God found me first. They were oppressed, depressed, these Israelites, by the Egyptians. There seemed to be no hope of release from slavery when they were in Egypt. And from this pain of toil of making bricks, but God heard their cries and answered them. He found them. Whatever you're going through, whatever you need, God is always there, and when you cry out to Him, He finds you. I've told you the story. When I was growing up as a little kid, I'd get lost at a grocery store, and my mother, she'd realize I wasn't there, and she'd go this embarrassing sound of woo-hoo. Joni walked in my office this morning. Sister Blanchard walked in my office this morning. I was busy on the computer. She started speaking to me, and I said, come on in, Sister Joni. She said, how you know it was me? I said, the sheep, the shepherd knows the voice of the sheep. God knows your voice.
Yes, He does.
When you cry out to Him in your distress, God looks for you, and He finds you, and He'll deliver you out of your distress. Yes. David said, I cried out to God, and He brought me out of the pit. Whatever pit you're in, when you cry out, God will look for you, and God will find you, and God will deliver you out of the pit that you are in. God is an awesome God. Somebody says, will the church ever grow, reach 500 to 1,000? Yes, it will. Yes, it will. You know why? When we cry out, God, you're the one that builds the church. I come here and I want to labor in your vineyard. I want to work for you. He said, God builds the house. Unless God's Spirit draws people, amen, there's nobody's going to come to Him. It's only His Spirit that draws people. But He draws them, touches them with His Spirit, delivers them to the end, that's the church, and then we take care of them until He comes back. And so we take care of one another, the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I said we take care of the body of Christ.
Amen.
If you wander off by yourself, you're going to wind up being lost. And we got to come look for you. Search for you. Take time praying for you. Take time pleading the blood over you. Hallelujah. But if you just simply say, I'm so glad to be a part of the inn. I've got a job inside the inn. My job is to expense the amenities of God, the love of God. Does this side over here of the church love that side of the church over there? Or the reason why you're sitting over here because you don't like them over there? Do you over here like those over here? Would you take those over here? Would you take these to lunch today? Oh, you don't like them that much. Okay. He said, if you love one another, then the whole wide world is going to know that you are my disciples. So here's the amenities of the body of Christ. There is this love, this strengthening one another and encouraging one another and helping one another and blessing one another. Come on. We just don't want people to know that we need help. How many's like that? Sister Cox says, let me help you. No! I can do it by myself. I can limp to the table. Sometimes we don't want people to help us. Except when we get so lost. People sometimes get offended because no one spoke to me. No one noticed me. I don't want you to leave this congregation saying that nobody noticed you. You're my brother. You're my sister. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you want what God has for you? Do you want to have the blessings of God, the strength of God? Do you? Do you? Do you? Yeah. I found this. I've tried to get lost before. How many ever tried to get lost before? I'm talking about lost from the standpoint, just go out into a big woods and just get lost. How many ever tried that before? Huh? I'm the only one? Go out into the woods and just absolutely try to get lost. If you're going to do that, do not take with you a GPS. Because you know why? After wandering around and you finally don't know which way is which, you'll have that urge. Come on. You'll have the urge to reach in your pocket and pull out that GPS, which I had with me, and punch into that to find out where everything was at. And I hit it and I pulled up a view from where I was at, my location, and it showed me road over here and road over there. It showed me here. Let me tell you what, when you get so hungry for God and you don't think you'd find Him, you don't feel Him anymore, you whatever it is, all you got to do is call upon His name, because He will come looking for you, because there's a built-in GPS. It's His Spirit. He breathed in the nostrils of Adam and made him a living soul. And long as there's a spark of life in your soul, no matter how lost you may be, God will find you. I begin to look at something because of eyesight. I'm just one among the millions of people who's going to have a little bit of surgery here. But the eyes is a very interesting thing. In fact, the Bible tells us the eyes is the window to the soul. I got thinking about that Jesus is a type. They calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Lions have great eyesight. And in fact, lion's eyesight is arguably the most important sense that a lion has. along with a highly developed sense of smell and incredible hearing, these predators, this lion has a big advantage over most other prey. Their eyesight, although no better than probably than we think ours might be in the daytime, at nighttime, their eyes are incredible because of the cone shapes of those eyes and the elements that goes into it. You say, Pastor, what does that got to do with anything? I'll tell you this. My God is a lion of the tribe of Judah. No matter how dark may be the night, how dark this world ever gets, how dark your life ever gets, how dark your situation ever gets, how bad a disease you have in your body, my God can find you in the darkness of your heart, of your soul, or of your life. Oh, somebody needs to thank God for that this morning. God has the ability to see in the darkness of your very soul. Begin to think about that power of my God, my awesome God, my Lion of the tribe of Judah. Pain doesn't have to be an obstacle in your life. In fact, pain in your life can be an opportunity for God to use you like never before. I put on Brother Fruitgate's shoe last week because walking in another man's shoe was an example. But if I'm not with him when he's out there, but he tells me the stories. He comes up here behind the pulpit and tells the stories of people he's talked to and prayed for. Come on, let me put Brother Fruitgate's shoe on. Give me a screwdriver. I'll try to fix your stove and witness to you at the same time. You want to be an ordinary person, or do you want to be a powerhouse for God? You want just to be, just live your life with nothing going on, nothing happening in your life? Or do you want to step in the shoes of somebody that says, let me tell you what my God is able to do. But so-and-so, they passed away, or so-and-so didn't get healed in their body. I can't explain that, but I do know this. My God said he can do anything. You have to ask him for that. You ask him without wavering. You ask him without doubting. You ask him the ability, because my God said, it is impossible. It is impossible to please him without faith. Amen. So, Joni Blanchard, she gets healed every time you turn around. I pray God keeps on healing her. You know why? Because she'll tell every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Mary, and Jane that she sees about the power of God that's able to heal her body from one disease to the next, and one cancer to the next. We need some people that shake some fear. This is what my God did. He put my marriage back together again. He put my life back together again. He put my children back together again. Look what my God did. Look what my God did. The woman at the well, Jesus came in the midst of the darkness of her life. He saw the pain in her life. He saw the disturbing hurt in her life. He saw the rejection in her life because of her lifestyle. Your lifestyle, your sin does not stop God from trying to find you. Your problem is you keep fighting him off. You keep fighting him off. You keep turning him back from him. You keep trying to hide yourself. Let me tell somebody here this morning, you better stop trying to hide from God and say, God, here am I. You found me. You found my life. You found me. You found me. You're here am I, God. Use my life. Use it. Whatever you want to be used for. We get hung up on what God hasn't done for us when he's got a billion things he wants to do for us. Well, God didn't do this. Well, stop getting hung up on that one thing that God didn't do for you. He's got 1,000 more things he wants to do for you. Yeah. Nobody will let me in the city. We're hungry. Israel's in besieged. Enemy trying to starve them out. It was all held up in the city. You may think that you're being held up in your life and you're being besieged by the enemy. Don't reject what God uses. What God calls clean, don't you call unclean. There were some leopards outside the city that the city folk wouldn't let come in because they had leprosy. Woo, glory to God. They said, well, I'll tell you what, we're awful hungry. We're so hungry. I think we'll go down to the enemy's camp and we'll go down there and ask him for some food. But all the way down, God magnified their footsteps. And the enemy who was besieging the city, who people were starving to death and wouldn't let those leopards into the city because it might get contaminated, God magnified their footsteps to the point that the enemy thought there was a huge army on the way, and Israel had got a confederation together, and they got afraid and they started killing one another, started running off. Let me tell you what, the God I know will scatter your enemies. Oh, come on, somebody. He'll scatter the fear. He'll scatter the doubt. Oh, some of you need to be shouting right now because God's done some marvelous things for your life, done some marvelous things for your family.
Yes, he has. Hallelujah. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Tell you what, Barry just almost scared me to death right there. Just going to sit down and cover. Hallelujah.
Come on, amen.
God's trying to tell us something this morning, church.
Yes,
come on.
Hallelujah.
My God's bigger than my problem.
Yes. Amen.
What they may say to you, they may say it. But you say, my God is an awesome God. This is what he's done for me. And that's what he's done for me. And if you do that for me, he'll do this for me as well. He'll make of the way where there seemeth to be no way. He'll open up the door. We have not because we ask not. But when you begin to ask God, when you begin to knock on his door, when you begin to ask him, God, you're able to do this thing. There's nothing impossible. You can't hold back nothing. When you begin to seek God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your soul, your mind, you're going to have some papers in your hands and you're going to wave those papers. That's what my God did. Now, Sister Jonah told me yesterday, in fact, she called me late last night. I got a neighbor coming, she said. Anybody got a neighbor coming to church with you? She said, I got a neighbor coming to church who's got a friend who's got cancer and had heard that God had healed me. And that neighbor who's got a friend who's got cancer wants to come to church and get prayed for.
That's awesome.
Now, how many are you going to sit here or stand here and just watch the pastor and the prayer team praying for this woman and say, I wonder if God will do it or not? Or is she going to walk into an atmosphere of saying, I know amongst the people that believe the power of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and that by his stripes there's a possibility, there's a good possibility that I'm going to be healed. I know you wasn't healed what you wanted healed of, but it doesn't make God a non-healer. But God healed that one, and God healed that one. God made a way for this one. God made a way for that one. I'm amongst the people who knows a God that's capable, who can do more and exceedingly abundantly above what we even ask of him. He's able to do that. Don't call somebody on a shout. Come on, somebody. Come on. I serve the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He sees in the darkness of this world. He sees in the darkness of this life that you're living. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. There's some amenities here. There's some amenities here. If that woman shows up, or any other woman shows up, any man shows up, any child shows up. The baby whose heart had a hole in it, God healed it. Amen. Come and see a man. Not Pastor Cox. Not Brother Frugate. Let me come introduce you to a man. His name is Jesus Christ.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes. Come
on. Let's stand. We do not know, but there's people just like you and me who has cried in the nighttime. Pain has the potential to push us closer to God than ever before. Pain of life has the potential to point out adjustments that we need to make. Pain has the potential to be the greatest platform God uses in your life. With pain, you have to learn to do a double take. If all you focus on is what's wrong, you'll lose sight of what God can make right. Oh, shalom, oko shata lama. I was afraid, God. I didn't show up when that preacher came that could work in the spirits because I was afraid what he might tell. God found. He says, I found you, Israel. Justin, I found you in the pain and in the sorrow. I found you. When you gave up, yet at the same time you came searching for the roar of the lion. You need to move towards the roar of the lion. My champion, my deliverer, my healer, my waymaker. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. His eye sees in the darkness. It's made for the darkness hours of your life. Help me. He'll search for the one lost sheep just to put you on his shoulder and bring you home.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Church, come on. There are thousands of people outside these walls. God's Spirit is going to draw them. But when they come in here, it's not a place of darkness, it's a place of enlightenment of what I know my God is able to do. I rejoice in my God. I come to his gates with praise and with thanksgiving. It's better to enter into the gates limping or halt or maimed than not to make heaven at all. Wow. God found me. He found you in your pain. Pain will help you be delivered. Help you to understand some things in your life. I'm going to say this to some people that's here this morning. Fear puts blinders on seeing God clearly. Yes. Often the things God wants you to do and the places He wants you to go are exactly the opposite of what fear wants. Run from fear, and you might be running from your future. I don't want to walk down that aisle. I'm just afraid for what people are going to say. Don't run from your fear. You can be running towards your future of surrendering. Only two things we are told to fear in Scripture. One is God, and the second thing is nothing. Don't fear anything, but fear God. How many this morning has understood that when you cry out to Him, you are found of Him? When you cry out to Him, I'm found of Him. I think it would be wonderful. I've said this over and over again. When the Spirit of God begins to move and somebody hears about what God's able to do, they will come. They will come. They will come. And when they arrive, they're going to find the amenities of the innkeepers. We're innkeepers, church. I said we're innkeepers. And we take care of the amenities of those that come to stay with us until Jesus comes back to take the whole church away. Amen. And someone walks in here with pain, a broken heart. God draw them to the inn. And what is the innkeeper to do? He's to take care of them, watch over them, help them to heal and recover. And the body of Christ offers the amenity of strength and love and grace and mercy. Amen. I'm not sure how to close this out this morning except to just ask this. Are you willing to help others to find the grace that you found? Are you willing to help others to find the mercy and the love